Thank you, Mr. Garvin. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Swart. We're glad to have you here in Cambridge with us today. It's a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week. Not too much humidity, but nice warm temperatures. Although I think the ground says we can use a little bit of rain. Today, there is more war, conflict, and turmoil than ever before. According to the UN, there are 43 wars and hundreds of conflicts going on right now. 10 of those causing thousands of deaths yearly. These are occurring all over the world. Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Sudan, Somalia, Mexico, Egypt, Jordan, the Congo, Israel, Lebanon, and Syria. The list goes on and on. Iran and Korea's nuclear threats or developments have become serious threats. There's also economical and financial unrest worldwide. Unemployment is sky high. 14 million kids in the U.S. live in poverty conditions. 45 million people in the United States didn't get enough to eat last year. 4 million people in the U.S. lost their homes last year. 14 million serious crime arrests were made in the United States last year. The youth of our world has become corrupted and confused. And this is in the country where life is good. These facts are staggering, but it's even worse in third world countries. In a world tossed in so much chaos, it is easy to fall prey to our daily struggles and become discouraged. Maybe even so discouraged to the point that we could give up on what we've been working so hard to achieve. So what's the answer? What can we do? First and foremost, we know that we have to persist in prayer. But what else can we do? Is there anything else that we can do for ourselves and do for others? What does God tell us to do? And what is our responsibility? Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And we'll read verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and strengthen and build up one another. So we see here what God expects of us is we are to be encouragers. Encouragement is a powerful motivator. There was a story done, I was reading a book by John Maxwell. I like John Maxwell. I've got a management background, and he's a motivational speaker and teaches leadership skills and so on. And he wrote a story or a little comment about the former CEO of the Milliken & Company. And this man's name was Tom Malone. And Tom played college football. Now, he wasn't very big, and he was only about 150 pounds. And he got hurt all the time. He broke his arm. He broke his neck. He broke his legs. Broke something else 6 times or 7 times. He was beat up pretty good. And people asked, why? Why did you do this? And he said it was because he was encouraged. He was encouraged by his family. He was encouraged by his friends. And he was encouraged by the crowd cheering him. So he thought, that's why I do it. Before we practice being an encourager, we need to know a couple of things about what it is and what it isn't. An encouragement isn't flattery, and it isn't a reward. It's not quaint, nice little comments. It's more serious than that. It's more powerful than that. What then is encouragement? Encouragement is inspiration. It's support. It's help. It's hope. It's reinforcement of what we really know. What we really know is all the things that we've been taught. And we can find them in the Bible. They're God's promises, and it's His truth. Those are things that encourage. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 15, verse 4, it reads, "For everything was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope." That's pretty encouraging by itself. But the Bible's just designed that way for us, isn't it? What are some ways we can encourage one another? Number one, remind each other of God's promises. Just to name a few, God promises He will never leave us or forsake us. He promises to provide us all of our daily needs. He promises not to put us through anything that would be too much for us to handle. And God tells us that all things work together for good. Not just some, but all things work together for good. So point number one was remind each other of God's promises. Point number two, realize the power of your presence. When we are just being there, just being here together, here at church even, that's a good reason for us to assemble. But just being there for someone is encouraging. We often struggle to find the right words, but sometimes words aren't even what's needed. When you are with others, you are letting them know that you're important and that we care, that you care. Point number three, offer specific help when someone is discouraged or hurting. When someone is discouraged or at a very low moment in their life, it can be very hard to ask for help. Sometimes we may just simply ask, "How can I help? Just let me know what I can do. Is there anything I can do?" The discouraged person's not always going to know or be able to give us an answer. The better approach might be if we would ask, "Would it help if I," whatever the action would be. Or say, "I would like to help with," and whatever that action might be. "I'd like to help you do this." Or, "Would it be helpful if I did this for you?" My brother and sister-in-law just lost their homes a few weeks back in a fire. They lost their home. They lost all their belongings. And many asked, "Is there anything that I could do?" That was very nice, but overwhelming too. They couldn't think at that time. All they can think of was, everything we've worked for is gone. The more favorable, encouraging approach is when people would say, "Can we bring you food in this instance? Or can we bring you some clothes? Or I would like to help you clean up the mess. When can we start?" In other words, try to be specific and then follow through with our motives. So number three, offer specific help when someone is discouraged or hurting. The last one I have for us today is acts of endearment. Acts of endearment. Smiles, pats on the back, high fives, handshakes, notes just to let someone know that we're thinking of them. Phone call just to say hello? Or how about just cheering each other on? And don't forget, hugs go a long way. I'm a huggy person. I like hugs. It does a lot for me. I bet you there's a lot of smiles out there now that that's probably the case with most of us. The world we live in is quickly falling apart, brethren. It causes us much difficulties every day. Satan is prowling around looking for every opportunity he has to discourage us and to take us down one by one. We don't have to look hard for opportunities to encourage one another. They're around us constantly, every day. As brethren, and one day soon, leaders in God's kingdom, we need to realize that people need positive reinforcement and how valuable it is to exercise the practice of encouragement. People want to be considered. And they have the need and desire to feel significant and special. People want to be cared for and have the confidence that those that are around them, that surround them, have their interest at heart. When we read about Christ's life, we see that he was constantly comforting In other words, he was encouraging those around him daily while he was here on earth. We should be, and we want to be, doing the same thing. So how often should we provide encouragement to one another? Well, let's turn to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 13, and we'll find that answer. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. I didn't do that. Hebrews 3, and we'll just read the first part because it makes the point perfectly. Exhort each other daily while it is called today. Exhort is another word for encouragement. Exhort each other daily while it is called today. We're being instructed here to thoroughly encourage one another so we don't fall prey to discouragement. We need to take every opportunity we have to cheer each other on. Encouragement will help provide the needed strength that we need to make the seemingly impossible possible. That's what encouragement does. In closing, I'd like to share another story with you that displays the power of encouragement very well. Lost myself in my notes. Sorry. Excuse me. Anyway, leading up to the start of the Olympics, there was a torch run. And in 1984, there was a 20,000-mile serpentine course laid out across the country. The participants of the run had to pay $3,000 for the privilege of running with that torch for 1 kilometer. That's just two-thirds of a mile. All these monies that were raised went on to charity. At the end of the two-thirds of a mile, or 1 kilometer, they'd pass off the torch. Well, things weren't going well this year, and people were getting discouraged. To motivate the forces, a decision was made to show news clips of the torch run from the day before. It was encouraging to see everyone cheering. Late one night, a volunteer came into the office, had a videotape. So, "You've got to see this." And they said, "Well, what is it?" And they said, "It was a video of the torch run." "It can wait until tomorrow." And the young volunteer said, "No, we have to see it now." So they put it in and they played it. It showed a little road in New Mexico. And along this road it was lined 5, 6, 7 people deep for this whole mile or kilometer, two-thirds of a mile. Now along came the runner with the torch. The runner reached the next participant and leaned over to light the torch. But you can't see the next runner. A policeman was blocking the view. Apparently they were just having a hard time lighting the torch. The policeman was looking at his watch, and he was becoming irritated, and he was unsympathetic of what was going on. He probably just wanted to go home and get this over with. Finally, the torch was lit, and a little girl emerged from the crowd. Suddenly, the video catches an excited, beautiful smile on a little girl's face. See, this little girl, she worked for a year, bake sales, yard sales, whatever she could to raise the $3,000. She didn't have it given to her. She raised it herself so she could have her part in the running of the torch. Moments later, something else was noticed. The little girl was severely crippled. So she could barely put one foot in front of the other, and she could barely move. The little girl practiced for a year. And the best that she could ever do was run half of that kilometer, which is about a quarter of a mile strong. It was planned for her to hand off the torch to an alternate about halfway through her part of the leg. The stretch of the road that she had to run had to be specifically picked out with a slight incline, because if it hadn't, she was so crippled, she would have just fallen over. As she reached the halfway mark, there was a huge banner, a city block long with pictures, and with the giant letters saying, "Run, Amy, run." Her whole elementary class was holding a banner that filled an entire city block. She had already transferred the torch when she saw this banner. But she went back and she grabbed the torch. And the whole school dropped that banner and crowded into the streets with her, chanting, "Run, Amy, run!" as she made it to the end of a full kilometer of the race, or of the torch run. In the closing scene of the video, it showed Amy's mother holding her in celebration. And then it turned to the burly policeman, who moments earlier was visibly irritated and put out. He had his visor up and he had a handkerchief in his hand, and he was wiping tears from his face. The policeman was crying because he was also motivated by the young children and felt ashamed for acting irritated and put out instead of encouraging Amy. Johann Wolfgang van Gogh was a German poet, writer, philosopher, and he quoted, he once stated, "Instruction does much, but encouragement does everything." What a blessing it is that God provides us both instruction and encouragement. Remember, we are strong and we are all weak at different times. Therefore, we need to be alert and compassionate to the needs and circumstances of others. Brethren, encouragement changes everything. As we are approaching the end of this age, our road is going to be extra tough, and we're going to get absolutely exhausted. And we will be in need of encouragement from one another. So as we approach our finish line, I'd like to encourage everyone here. Run, brethren, run. Have a nice Sabbath.